Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. And they don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Did they give you any idea in Denver about what the job entails?
Only in a very general way.
Well, the winters can be fantastically cruel. The basic idea is to cope with the very costly damage and depreciation which can occur. And this consists mainly of running the boiler, heating different parts of the hotel on a daily rotating basis, repairing damage as it occurs, and doing repairs so the elements can't get a foothold.
Well, that sounds fine to me.
Physically, it's not a very demanding job. The only thing that can get a bit trying up here during the winter is a tremendous sense of isolation.
Well, that just happens to be exactly what I'm looking for. I'm outlining a new writing project, and 5 months of peace is just what I want.
That's very good, Jack. Because, for some people, solitude and isolation can of itself become a problem.
Not for me.
How about your wife and son? How do you think they'll take to it?
They'll love it.
Great. Well, before I turn you over to Bill, there's one other thing I think we should talk about. I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it's something that's been known to give a few people second thoughts about the job.
I'm in the tree.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970?
I don't believe they did.
Well,
good morning.
Morning, Mrs.
How are you feeling today?
Fine.
Good. May I? I'm Dr. Taylor.
I haven't seen you before.
I'm your psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist? Do I need one?
Just part of hospital routine.
What are we going to do? Talk about my sex life?
Oh, no. I'm going to show you some slides, and you're going to tell me what you think about them. All right?
Oh, jolly good. Do you know anything about dreams?
Something, yes.
Do you know what they mean?
Perhaps. You concerned about something?
No, not concerned, really, but I've been having this very nasty dream. Very nasty. It's like, well, when I was all smashed up, you know, and and half awake and unconscious-like. I kept having this dream. And like all these doctors were playing around with me, Gulliver. You know, like the inside of my brain. I seem to have this dream over and over again. Do you think it means anything?
Patients who've sustained the kind of injuries you have often have dreams of this sort. It's all part of the recovery process.
Ah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. And with me today is a returning guest, a friend of mine, someone who I think the audience should already be aware of. He's doing some amazing work and he's coming back to the show to talk about a brand new project, a new film that is out now. It's titled A Clockwork Shining. Ryder Lee is back on the show. Ryder, it's a pleasure to have you here again. I'm really stoked to see you've been working with Jay Widener, legend in the conspiracy theory field. You have a lot of cool stuff going on, and this is your latest projects. Before we get into the exact details of the film, what precipitated Clockwork Shining? Like, where were you when you thought, okay, this is what I need to work on next? Because I think I've been interviewing you at each step of the way. I remember we talked about UFOs at one point. We talked about MK Ultra. I can't remember the last thing we talked about, excuse me, but now we're talking about Kubrick and some other maybe Stranger Things, no pun intended, that Kubrick was trying to show us through several of his movies, and two in particular that folks can probably guess which ones they are based on the title of your film, but or your documentary. But yeah, what precipitated the Clockwork Shining? Because I think this is a really interesting trajectory you've been on.
Thank you very much, Mark, first off, for having me on again. I really appreciate it. And you have been there every step of the way through my entire evolution of new things you've had me on. So I really appreciate that, my friend. It's an honor and a privilege to be back on your show again. And I think you had me on for JFKX.
That's what it was. Yes, that was the last time you were on, I believe, unless there was something in between then and now. JFKX is the one I was misremembering, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first documentary that me and Jay Widener put together. And originally, how this all really came about was this was the first movie that I actually wanted to do. I wanted to do this movie, A Clockwork Shining, first. But we decided to go with JFKX first, and because this one was going to require a lot more production value and quality in it. We did JFKX first, and you can also find that on Amazon Prime. It's on Freevee on Amazon Prime. Actually, if you just type in A Clockwork Shining and click A Clockwork Shining on Amazon Prime, it'll be the next video in under related videos. I wanted to do this film originally, and I had Jay Widener on because he had done two documentaries before. He's done several films before, a lot of other films. He's a film production, like that's what he done for his whole career. And I had watched his two movies, A Kubrick's Odyssey 1 and A Kubrick's Odyssey 2, to bring him on my show to have a good in-depth conversation with him, because I like watching people's movies or reading their books or whatever it is before I bring them on, so then I can ask really good questions. And I had him on, so I watched The Shining several times over and over again. And as I'm watching it, because Kubrick is such a genius with his filmmaking, everyone knows that. Everyone knows who Stanley Kubrick is. Everyone knows what The Shining is. It's one of the greatest horror films that's of all time. And as I was watching it, I was like, what more can I really find in this movie that hasn't been seen before? Because this movie has been deconstructed in such a way that there's so many different theories about The Shining and about Stanley Kubrick just in general. Exactly, the JFK assassination, which was the one that we tackled previously. So this was a really big task, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. And then I watched some videos on some other people's analysis of it. And I watched Room 237 as well, which Jay Widener is also in Room 237, which we also reference in this new film, A Clockwork Shining. And I'd seen in the background, because whenever Danny sees the twins for the very first time, there's a poster on the wall on the back left-hand side that says Monarch at the bottom of the poster. And I wasn't the first person to see that, I 100% admit. Not the first person to see it, but nobody got what that poster actually meant correctly. And when I brought Jay on my show, I was like, hey, like, I know people have seen this several times before. There's a poster in the background that has Monarch at the very bottom of it. It looks like a person on skis, and some people call it a minotaur. And they relate the... It's one of two things with people that see that poster and try and interpret its meaning. One of those is that it's a minotaur. Another one is that it's a Kubrick, the Kubrick stare, like in a lot of his movies, like Full Metal Jacket, A Clockwork Orange, and The Shining, that Kubrick stare, that famous thing, like that, like the Jack Nicholson does during The Shining, and Alex's character does during A Clockwork Orange. And also that it could be referring to Monarch Mountain in Colorado as well. But I never heard of anybody relate the poster to Monarch MKUltra mind control. So I'm explaining this all to Jay around 2 years ago now on our show. And I'm like, hey, there's a poster back there. It says Monarch. It's no one has ever come up with ever talked about the theory that about Monarch mind control. They bring other things into it, like I just mentioned, but they've never mentioned. And then I started dissecting the movie and all the things throughout the movie. And I was like, Jay, we need to make a documentary about this. I think that I'm the first person to really understand exactly what's going on within this movie. And he was like, yeah, we should. We definitely should. And then we ended up with JFKX as our first film, which I am very happy that we did it that way, because I got to cut my teeth on a documentary. And then I did this one, which this one is almost 2 hours long. It clocks it in around an hour and 50 minutes. So that's basically the origin.
And to be clear, the film that you're talking about is The Shining, because the Clockwork Orange film, there's really, it's not like subtle in any way that mind control is going on. That's a key plot in the film. But connecting the symbolism from there to The Shining, I think, is a big step. And yeah, potentially you're the first person to see that. You're definitely the first person to make a film about it. But that's the thing with Kubrick that I wonder is it that he saw this and has left these clues behind for people? It seems to be that way, because it couldn't be that he was just some lucky fool who just happened to spell all this out by accident. But then I also wonder, could it be that he was using symbols that are so general that you can apply multiple layers of meaning to them? That almost feels, I'm just trying to debunk it at that point, which I'm not, because The Shining, I think Room 237, they go into the theory that there's somehow suggestions about the moon landing with The Shining, right?
Yeah, and that's Jay Widener's original proposal with his first two films on the topic. He proposes that The Shining is Kubrick's confession to faking the moon landing, which he provides significant evidence of that. And what I've been telling people, which I think is very plausible, because 2001 A Space Odyssey was being shot during the time of the moon landing, during the time that we went to the moon.
Right.
And it's highly possible that Stanley Kubrick would have been like, hey, let's shoot some scenes, and the actors wouldn't know that the footage was going to be used for something else. And that really gets down to, because a lot of people are like, how could they have faked the moon landing without a lot of people knowing about it? That's how they would have done it. They would have done it a part of a movie shoot. And 2001 A Space Odyssey was using special effects that had never been seen before. It's one of the first times in film history that front screen projection was ever used. And it's possible that Kubrick was like, hey, we'll shoot some extra scenes for 2001 A Space Odyssey. All the actors, all the production, all the people will think that it's for 2001 A Space Odyssey, but we won't put it in the film, and then that'll be the moon landing footage. I'm not saying that's fact.
Right.
I just think that it's really interesting and it's definitely plausible. But as far as the mind control stuff, Kubrick had to have been aware of the CIA's MK Ultra programs just based upon the fact that he made A Clockwork Orange.
Right.
The entire film is basically about mind control and drugging Alex, the main character, and having him watch these movies to influence his behavior.
And so in a way, if The Shining has both layers in it, I don't see how that's necessarily impossible. Kubrick could have been talking about the moon landing and MKUltra, which is why I find this premise really fascinating. I'm glad to get into it with you. But I just wanted to say off the bat for people who might be like, oh, they've done this already. Go watch Room 237. First of all, Jay Widener's a part of this film, so cut it out. And second of all, Kubrick, again, I'm just applying my own mind to him, and we've talked about him a ton on this show, not just with this particular topic, but from other angles. We had a guy on who hates Kubrick. We had a guy on who talked about Kubrick and his espionage, maybe, connections, right? Or at least propaganda and that sort of thing. But I find it interesting because we often think about MKUltra like Manchurian candidates, but in a way, the moon landing was like a mass MKUltra event because you have so many people who are being hypnotized into thinking this is a real event taking place when actually it's fabricated to some degree, whether that means that the rockets only went so far or the rockets didn't even fly at all or whatever. I don't know the details. That's not what we're here to argue about. But I think most people can agree at this point the moon landing has some issues with its legitimacy. It's a little bit less than plausible at this point. And I think Kubrick, being that he was so close to the military and these groups who provided some sort of camera equipment to him at some point, that's the big thing that the debunkers go for, is they say, oh, he only got these lenses from the NASA people afterwards, but we don't need to get into that. I think what's most important about Kubrick is like, what propelled him to expose this stuff? Because he seemed like a film genius. Like, he suffered and he bled for the films that he loved, right? Like, he really, and everybody around him had to work at that same pace of suffering too, because like, he was a hard director to work for, is what most people have said. But yeah, I guess wrapping your head around like such a genius, like, what do you make of Stanley Kubrick? Do you think that it really is like this sort of sneaky way of subtly putting these truths out into the culture?
I think so too. And I think it's a testament to the fact that this is just now coming out and nobody has talked about this before. And which brings a whole other layer to it. And I think Kubrick was trying to subliminally put things in his film, like little hints and little clues here and there as to what's going on. And you're right, the fact that this is something new in this documentary doesn't also discount the moon landing theory. If anything, I think it goes hand in hand, because what we propose within the movie is that it's not only an experiment within Stanley Kubrick making this movie, because Stanley Kubrick is rewriting the entire movie as the movie is being filmed. No one does that. It's an experiment within the movie. It's also an experiment on the actors that are in the movie, and the way that he treated Shelley Duvall and basically berated her and yelled at her and told the cast and the crew not to empathize with her, not to check up on her, not to tend to her, what she wants or what she needs. But it's also an experiment within on the audience as well. So it's like a triple threat. And that goes hand in hand with the moon landing footage as well. Actually, I have a trailer here, which will really describes exactly what the film is about, if you would like to see it. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
Okay, this is the official trailer for A Clockwork Shining.
Hallucinogenic drugs, hypnosis, electric shocks to the brain.
Stop it, please, I beg you!
Some of the methods used in secret CIA mind control experiments.
There are many theories as to what The Shining is really about, from the faking of the moon landing to Native American genocide and the Holocaust.
Now, if he did fake the Apollo moon landing, then he probably has really deep connections into the intelligence world. Why are there these gigantic continuity errors in this movie?
The occulted meaning has to be comprehensible. It's just hidden, usually in a very systematic way, so that it could be understood by someone coming along later on who knows what the real meaning is supposed to be.
We believe that there's something even more sinister lurking beneath the surface of this masterful film.
So Lookout Mountain Hotel looked a lot like the Overlook Hotel.
You realize that there's no such thing as coincidences like that.
As Lookout Mountain Studios, ran by the Air Force,
that told the story of nuclear weapons testing by the United States.
Of the Army, Navy, and Air Force, the Air Force was known to be the most excited, the most turned on by MKUltra and its prospects.
Reportedly, there were more films made at Lookout Mountain than at all the other film studios in Hollywood.
We really don't know what these famous film directors were being recruited for, what project or whatever. Was it the moon landing?
The CIA's MKUltra programs were admitted to the public in 1975, 5 years before the release of The Shining.
These experiments were done without the informed consent of the patients.
Look at some UFO cases and the things that are reported tells me that MKUltra is likely being applied.
In my MKUltra mind control experience, I was taken to various military, NASA, and DARPA installations for sophisticated mind control programming.
Walt Disney, Marilyn Monroe, James Stewart, Cary Grant, Ronald Reagan. Nobody really knows what they were doing up there.
As well as high-ranking military and Department of Defense personnel.
What people don't realize is that many of the people that worked with Kubrick also worked with Kennedy. This is actually the smoking gun proving that Kubrick was working with the government.
These were all CIA-sponsored experiments.
I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains.
And putting little symbolic, cryptic clues and Easter eggs pertaining to the fact that they're still doing it.
These clues include a hidden swastika in the background of the gold room.
What was the setup? What was being told? And realize that it was a lie all along.
But right there in the narrative, in the dialogue, they're telling you that this was a very real program coming out of those nice folks at the CIA.
Great.
So
wow.
That was the trailer for Clockwork Shining on Amazon Prime, and that gives you a really good rundown of exactly what the movie is about, and that's the reason that I put it together that way and touches on a lot of different topics. This just isn't a movie about Stanley Kubrick in The Shining or A Clockwork Orange. This is a movie about the music industry, the film industry, MKUltra, military and government programs.
Right. Now, what about Kubrick's background would lead us or would show where he learned a lot of this stuff, right? Because at Clockwork Orange, when that was released, it was based on a book. And I believe the author of that book's name is Anthony Burgess or something like that. And this gentleman was writing the book because he had some sort of political gain. I think he was an English author, and they were trying to expose the American programs because there was maybe some sort of adversarial relationship between MI6 and the CIA for whatever reason. That sounds about right. That's to the best of my knowledge. Kubrick must have been reading this kind of stuff, but were there any, I don't know, places that he was enrolled in, school, etc., military, etc., that where he would have gotten any insider information about any of this stuff?
I really don't know if you actually need to have insider information to know about it. I know a lot about the MK Ultra programs, and no insider has ever told me anything about it. But as far as a military background, we do provide some information in there that Kubrick was being sought after for an unknown project, him and four other film directors, and he was looked at as the most promising of these other four film directors. So there is evidence that Kubrick had involvement with the military and with the government. And we also know during the filming of 2001, A Space Odyssey, there were in the credits, the original credits for that movie, Kubrick credits all of the big military agency. He credits the Air Force intelligence, basically all of the major intelligence communities for contributing to the making of that film. And later on, they were removed. So it stands to good reason that he did indeed have some connections to the military and with Dr. Strangelove as well. We have a clip of Kubrick's production designer talking about Dr. Strangelove and how Kubrick and his production designer basically recreated the inside of a B-52, and the military was really frightened by that because they thought that someone had leaked Kubrick the information on the B-52 and what the inside of the cockpit actually looks like. And they actually visited Kubrick on the set of that movie, and we have Kubrick's production designer talking about that and how Kubrick told him, "You need to get together where you got all this information to build the inside of this B-52, or we're going to be investigated by the FBI.
And did the production designer have a legitimate reason for knowing that? Was it just kismet and he had happened to just have some sort of remote viewing ability to just guess it?
He could have, bro. I think everybody's psychic. But the explanation was that he took the cutouts from a bunch of different magazines, and then he would look at models of it, like tiny miniature models, and then he put piece together what he thought that the inside of the B-52 would look like, and he got it spot on, basically. Wow. So much that it scared the military to the point that they were like, we might need to investigate Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, we might need to set our propaganda cameras up a little farther away from the planes. Because that's the other thing about the film industry is, like, it's completely military from the beginning, because the whole idea was they wanted to show the public who the boss was and get everybody enrolled in the draft and make everyone excited about fighting whatever war was on the horizon, right? It's a total propaganda piece. From the get-go, we think of it for, what do you call it, the vaudeville-type stars and whatnot that made their way into Hollywood. But a lot of those people were gangsters and criminals and underground types to begin with. So it's, like, unsurprising that you'd have these themes within the film industry and then also this close connection to directors like Kubrick. But he just seems, even with his prowess as a director, he seems like an outsider, and it's hard to even call him an outsider when Hollywood regards him as, like, the best director of all time. Like, his films have more awards than I think any other director or something like that. Like, he's been given a ton of awards, praise.
But not until after his death. I think he only won one Academy Award, and it was not for directing.
Interesting. Yeah, once he's no longer an issue.
What I really like about Kubrick is it's not even so much the way that his films are shot, which his films are shot really beautifully, But Kubrick does things in a way to not give away the entire movie before the movie ends. And that's a really big problem with movies nowadays, is they give everything away within the exposition of the movie, within the dialogue of the characters. They tell you about the entire movie. So there's literally no mystery to the movie, which is a really interesting thing that happens within The Shining, because the first 10 minutes of The Shining, between Ullman, which Ullman looks a lot like JFK, and a lot of people have pointed that out before, between Ullman and Jack and Bill, there's Ullman pretty much tells Jack exactly what's going to happen in the rest of the movie. He's like, Jack, this isn't a physical, this isn't a physically demanding job, Jack. This is more of a psychological job, because you're isolated up here with nobody around you. It snows really heavily during the winter. If you try and get out, you got to take the sidewinder down the mountain. But he's telling him that it's a psychological job. It's not a physical job that he's getting in for. And then he proceeds to tell him about Grady, which suffered a mental breakdown and killed his two little girls and his wife. So he pretty much lays out the entire movie in that first 10 minutes of the movie, but he doesn't come out and just straight up say it like, this is what's going to happen. He's just like, Jack, this isn't really a physically demanding job. This is a psychological job. It's a mental job. It's a mental game up here. And you have to be mentally strong to make it through the winter up here. So that's a really interesting concept that I don't think a lot of people have really paid attention to, because they think that part of the movie is the most boring part of the movie, which the first time that I watched it, I thought that it was too, because it's just 10 minutes of Ullman talking to Jack about the Overlook. And then it cuts back between Wendy and Danny a few times, but nothing really happens. And really nothing happens in the entire movie. Until up to the end of the movie, things actually start really happening. And that's what makes me question, is this really a horror film? Because there's some dramatic imagery. But I think that if this film was released today, I don't think that it would be classified as a horror film. It would be more like a psychological thriller.
Right.
Is what that it would be categorized as. And another thing that's really interesting too, that we bring up in the movie, is how Jack is supposedly writing the book. It's the most famous scene in the movie, whenever Wendy comes in and sees that Jack hasn't been writing a book. He's just been writing the same sentence over and over again. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Another version of that was Sirhan Sirhan, which assassinated RFK, well, supposedly assassinated RFK, right? That same version of what was going on there was also doing. If you look at Sirhan Sirhan's notebook, it says RFK must die over and over again. There's like a whole entire page of nothing but saying RFK must die. And that's a typical MK Ultra technique that's called psychic driving, where they program you with a word and program you with a phrase. And then it's just a coincidence whenever Wendy comes in and finds Jack is just writing the same thing. She's going through all the notebook papers and seeing that it's the same thing written out over and over again. And then Jack becomes triggered. Jack becomes triggered to do violence against his family, to try and kill Wendy and Danny. Then also in the beginning of the film, that very few people have ever pointed out, I never heard this before until Jay had brought it up, and we talk about it within the movie, is that the first time we meet Wendy and Danny in the movie, Wendy is reading a book by J.D. Salinger called Catcher in the Rye. You just seen that in the trailer. And Catcher in the Rye has been identified as a MK Ultra Manchurian style candidate trigger. It's been involved in two major assassinations less than a year after the release of The Shining, which was John Lennon and the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. They were both found on the scene. And so putting those together, we're like, holy shit. Very few people has pointed out the fact that Catcher in the Rye is even in the movie. And how did Kubrick know that? How did Kubrick basically predict that a year before these two major assassinations, where both the assailants were on the scene reading Catcher in the Rye? Mark David Chapman, which you saw shot John Lennon, it's been said that he stood up in court and was like, if you want to know my defense, all you got to do is read Catcher in the Rye. We also have The Sixth Sense by Will Smith. We have a clip from The Sixth Sense in A Clockwork Shining where Will Smith is basically breaking all this down of Catcher in the Rye. And then we have Joe Atwell talking about it. We have Walter Bosley talking about it. And we also have Mark Devlin talking about the meaning behind Catcher in the Rye. And it's just a coincidence that Wendy is reading this book, which Jack is a writer within the movie. So it's probably his book. And then it's used for MK Ultra mind control assassins. And then what is Jack doing throughout the movie?
Right. Yeah. This
He's trying to kill his family.
This is a strange memory I have too of reading that book. And I remember being I was always a good student in the sense that I cared to listen, but I was always a bad student in the sense that as soon as I was out of school, I didn't care about school, so I never got my homework done or anything like that. But that was one of the rare books that I actually read to some degree, but I was just so confused by it because it just made no sense to me. And maybe I'm just dumb, but talk to me about the Catcher in the Rye, because all I really remember beyond what I've heard Joe Atwell talk about is Holden Caulfield was in some sort of high school clash with another person. That's all I remember from that book. And it's just an interesting experience to go through America's public education system and to be given a book like that and to be told, no, you're just read it. I don't know if this was the same for every school. Obviously, we all had different English teachers and literature teachers, but my English teacher was a very interesting guy, nice guy, but really didn't give us much of an explanation for why this book was important or valuable or really recommended. Like, it didn't stand out to me. You know what I mean? So what's up with The Catcher in the Rye beyond like the Freemasonic lore? Because I've heard a little bit about that. Please get into that if you know anything about its Freemasonic connections. But yeah, what's up with The Catcher in the Rye?
You really have to watch the movie to get a full scope because it's a prominent part of the movie. But Catcher in the Rye is really a abysmal book. It's a degrading book. And I think that it's put there to desensitize the public toward like certain issues, because really the whole thing is about this outsider, this kid that really isn't understood. And it's very subliminal and it needs to be like decoded. And I've always wondered why it was such a popular book. Like, why is this book a like required reading right for everyone? It literally makes no sense. It's a horrible book. It's a bad book. It's not a good book. It's not a good read either.
Right.
And you really have to decode it. And Joe out within the movie A Clockwork Shining, he breaks that down really well. Walter Bosley also mentions it. Mark Devlin also talks about it and it being involved in these assassinations. And it takes you have to go through there with like a microscope. And according to Joe Atwell, has a lot to do with the Freemasonic trajectory of a member up to the top of being in the Freemason lodge. And by listening to him talk about it and putting it in there, it makes a lot of sense in that it's a warning. And the reason that it was at these assassinations, because it's a warning to other Freemasons to not step out of line. And I don't really want to ruin too much of this because it's really important to the movie and that really connects everything together. So I don't really want to go into any more details about it because if I tell you, then it's just going to...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a quick break to thank the show's sponsors. But first and foremost, thank you to all of the folks who sign up on the Patreon and the Substack. And big thank you to everybody who listens to the show. I appreciate all of you. Even if you can't afford to sign up on the Patreon or the Substack, that's fine. If you really want to, but you really can't afford it, you can always send me an email and I will give you a free trial to the Substack. Don't be shy. I try to be a nice guy as much as I can on social media and reply to everybody and so on and so forth. So yeah, send me a message, email, or on Instagram at My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. If you really want the free trial and you don't have enough money for it, but you want to see what it's all about, I'm happy to give you that free trial. All you got to do is send me a message with your email and I will do that for you. So yeah, you guys are the ones who keep this show going. So thank you to everybody listening. If you don't want to do that, you can always leave us a 5-star rating and review. Remember to rate the entire show and not just the episode that you just listened to, because that's not really what the rating system is about. It affects the entire podcast. So be ethical about your 5-star rating or whatever rating you give the show. But if you give us a 5-star rating, I will read it at some point on the show. I think I'm going to do that in the next outro. We'll do a big catching up with all the comments that I haven't read over the past few weeks. And yeah, let's give a big shout out to all of our sponsors. First and foremost, the Hit Kit, the number one way to stay lit. And the Hit Kit has some amazing designs. I love the Hit Kit. I think I'm going to do some kind of merch package for you guys where I get custom lighters and Hit Kits made with the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy logo and all that good stuff. And then I'll be sending those out with like a t-shirt or something, because I came up with a really great idea for a t-shirt on a live stream recently. And if I can find the right artist to help me pull it off, we're going to be sailing into the podcast stars with some amazing merch. So join us for that journey. And the Hit Kit is there with us. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout when you're getting yourself a Hit Kit. Next up, we got Brain Supreme. Brain Supreme is the way to exceed in microdosing. Brain Supreme. We've got Brain Supreme on deck, and Adam Schell is coming back on the show very soon. So if you have any questions about microdosing, rest assured that we're going to be talking about them again. And it's not to get you high. This is something to take you to that higher level. That's right, that next level of performance, whether that's at work, whether that's in social situations, whether that's in a creative function, you can microdose your way to success. And Brain Supreme is going to show you how. Go to brainsupreme.co and use the promo code CRAZY15 at checkout to save. And we have so much more to talk about with Adam Schell, so look forward to that interview. Next up, we have Raw Optics, and go to rawoptics.com/crazyoptics to save 10% off on your blue light blocking lenses. That's right, blue light is not good for your eyes, and you should be taking care of your health. You wake up in the morning, you start your day, what's the first thing you do? You open your eyes and you see, right? So we want to make sure your eyes are healthy. If you're staring at your phone, you're staring at a computer screen, a laptop screen, a tablet screen, you might want to consider wearing blue light blocking lenses, and Raw Optics will help you do that in style. And not just the aviators, not just the hippie look like me. There's all sorts of looks, all sorts of styles, from modern to classic. So go to rawoptics.com/crazyoptics to save 10% off, and you also help support the show. All right, folks, we'll be right back to this episode after a quick break to our dynamic ads. And if you're thinking to yourself, geez, another ad, well, guess what? Sign up on the Patreon or the Substack to get the full episode interruption-free and ad-free. That's right. So don't complain. Sign up to support the show for $5 a month, and you never have to listen to these ads again. All right, we'll be right back after this. All right, folks. This ad is for the men in the audience 30 and up, so skip ahead if that's not you. All right, guys, listen, don't be ashamed if you can't keep it up in bed. Maybe you're smoking too much pot or drinking too much liquor. If that's not holding you back, there might be another issue. It could be something that you're being prescribed and it's causing dysfunctional erections. Well, that's no good. We don't want you suffering from that. Hims is here to help. Their over-the-counter product might be the stealthy solution to your cock confusion. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments, all from the comfort and privacy of your couch. Hims provides access to a range of doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, proven treatments like Viagra and Cialis, or their generics for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. You don't have to visit a doctor. Just answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments online and start your free online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The products mentioned are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Check out Hims and use my code CRAZY for a great deal. www.hims.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that book, and I'm glad you said that. It makes me not feel dumb to know that it's not just me that thinks that book was hard to read, but it definitely feels like a calling card, as you said, and also a sort of coded message for the initiated. And so much of our society is filled with this subterfuge, this coded language. It almost puts you in this sensory overload where like all this nonsense is coming at you in the form of watered down consumerism and commercialism. But The Shining really stands out because you're right. It is a departure from what most horror films are. And I'm not a horror film fan at all because I don't remember, probably some early childhood experiences being made to watch like Chucky or something like that, right? But yeah, so I'm not a big horror guy, but The Shining never bothered me. I've watched it multiple times because it is such an interesting film. And it really, aside from the few axe-wielding scenes, and then of course there was a scene in the trailer that even seeing it then disgusted me where Jack's touching the woman, it's not his wife, and she's melting into an old lady or something. That was just terrible. But beyond that, there's a ghost and a couple scenes like that. But for the most part, it's not a spooky, paranormal type of horror movie that you'd expect, especially from that time period with Nightmare on Elm Street and all these other films doing so well. The Shining, maybe those came after, but The Shining doesn't really fit that mold. And neither does Clockwork Orange, if we're going to talk about a sci-fi film, right? Clockwork Orange, the only thing that's really sci-fi about it is the way they deal with criminals and maybe like the nightclub that they go to. Everything else is pretty mundane, looks like our world, but it is a sci-fi film. So Kubrick plays around with these genres in an interesting way. But yeah, with The Shining, it's based on the Lookout Hotel. Is that right? The Lookout or Lookout Mountain. And this was some sort of military post. There's a synchronicity there, right? Like with the Overlook Hotel and the Lookout Mountain. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's not. So before the military, because the military had this base called Lookout Mountain Military Base, Air Force Base, on top of Laurel Canyon. And this was where several movies were made. Several are still classified to this very day. A lot of people had top secret security clearance for the place. Some major actors, like Mark Devlin was just mentioning in the trailer that we just watched, how Ronald Reagan had top secret security clearance, Marilyn Monroe, James Stewart, Cary Grant, a lot of big name actors of that time had top secret security clearance for the Lookout Mountain military base. And nobody really knows why or how or what they were involved with up there, because everything is still classified. But what we do know is that the miniature sets, the atomic bomb footage, was all filmed up there at Lookout Mountain Air Force Studio. They weren't actually dropping real atomic bombs and filming them. I'm pretty sure everyone has gotten that by now. A lot of people have, you know, talked about that. It wasn't real. A majority of it wasn't real atomic bombs being dropped, because they're like, okay, what happened to the camera in this scenario? Joe Rogan has done talked about it quite a few times. But before the military put in this Air Force base up there, which had a helicopter pad, it had several film studios, several recording studios. We show pictures and video of it in our documentary. There was a hotel that stood at the same location as where the Lookout Mountain military base is now, which is now owned by Jared Leto, which is a coincidence. 30 Seconds to Mars. And Lookout Mountain Hotel looked strikingly similar to the Overlook Hotel in The Shining, and they almost have identical names. So is it a possibility that Kubrick is referencing this military base on top of Laurel Canyon by making the exterior of the hotel look similar to the hotel that used to be there, which burnt down? And then in Stephen King's sequel to The Shining, Dr. Sleep, also in the movie and in the book, at the end of it, spoiler alert, look out, the Overlook Hotel burns to the ground. So we have this hotel that used to be where a military base was, burnt down. And then we have Stanley Kubrick making the Overlook Hotel look strikingly similar to the Lookout Mountain Hotel. And in both versions, at the end, they both burn down, which obviously doesn't burn down in The Shining, but in Stephen King's, as I said, mentioned, in Stephen King's sequel to the book, Dr. Sleep, and also in the sequel to the movie, The Overlook burns to the ground.
Right. Yeah. Very strange stuff. And Stephen King wrote the novels, and he himself is a strange character. Anything worth noting about him and his connection to all the strangeness? Has he written any other books that might lend to this theory or wrap into this theory? Because Clockwork Orange, obviously not written by Stephen King, but has he written anything else with an MK Ultra type of theme, or was it Kubrick that really brought that out of the book, right? Because I'm sure the book and the film aren't perfectly similar.
I am pretty sure that Stanley Kubrick brought that out of the book, and Stephen King, that wasn't what his book was about, because he's notoriously hated Stanley Kubrick's rendition of The Shining. He talked trash on it forever. The only thing that he would mention that was good about it was Jack Nicholson's performance in the movie. The rest of it is garbage. And a reason for that is because Kubrick, he didn't want to portray the ghost as actual ghosts, because it's been said from people that were around him that Kubrick, he was like a pseudo atheist. He like teetered on believing in God and not believing in God. Like he would call Stephen King in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. and be like, "Hey, Stephen King, you think that there's a God?" And you would ask him like really weird and strange questions in the middle of the night. And I think that is the reason why Stephen King did not like Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining. But as far as Stephen King maybe writing something along those lines, the closest thing that I can think of off the top of my head, because it's a really good question, is Room 1408. That's the name of it, right? 1408, Room 1408.
I'm pretty sure
it has.
Can look it up.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, again, not a big horror movie guy, and the same is not as same is true for novels. But yeah, it's something that.
Yeah, it's not Room 1408. It's just 1408.
Okay.
It's partially on it, correct? So it's just a movie. It's a book, but also a movie named 1408, where basically it's this writer that goes into this haunted hotel. He's like a paranormal horror novelist, which everybody in all of Stephen King's book is a freaking novelist or a writer. And he's a horror novelist, and he's going around and traveling to all these locations to write about the hauntings and write about if he has some sort of experience. And then Samuel L. Jackson is also in the movie as well. Samuel L. Jackson's in everything, especially during that period of the early 2000s. So he stumbles across this hotel that is rumored to be really haunted, and he doesn't really, the character in the book doesn't really believe it. And he discovers that it is very real. But when I recently rewatched it, and it seems to follow the line of some sort of hallucinogenic substance use, which is also what we posit within The Shining as well, because we have a lot of, because Jack doesn't really experience anything strange in the hotel until he takes that first alcoholic drink from Lloyd. And we know that the CIA is notorious for, back in the day, notorious for spiking people's drinks with LSD. Several times that's happened with Frank Olson. There's an entire documentary about it on Netflix where Sidney Gottlieb spiked his alcoholic drink and then he jumped out the window of a really big hotel, like the 11th floor or something like that, or the 13th floor, one of the high up floors, and died, which we also have that story in our movie. So it's a possibility.
Well,
because
funny.
Jack doesn't have any kind of hallucination or experience anything strange until he's given that drink by Lloyd.
And he's given.
And then he go. And then Wendy comes into the room, and Wendy's like, "Hey, Danny just got attacked by some lady upstairs in one of the empty bedrooms." So then he goes up there, and that's when he experiences the lady, the very attractive woman that turns into an elderly lady. And then later on in the scene, whenever he goes back up to his bedroom to speak with Wendy, Wendy asks him, and she's like, "Hey, did you find anything?" She's kind of frightened. "Did you find anything?" "It's not one thing. I didn't see one goddamn thing." So there you go. That's like our proposal. And also,
well, let me stop you really quick.
Back that up in real life.
Let me stop you really quick before we get away from what we were just talking about. Lloyd, isn't he the ghost?
I don't think that he was a ghost.
Oh, okay.
Not in this theory.
And that's my point. Like, you're made to believe he's a ghost, but what do we call secret agents? We call them spooks, right? So maybe to your point, yeah, he's not a ghost. He's an actual agent of some kind, handing him a spike drink, which sets off this psychotic. It's ironic that, yeah, who knows? Maybe Kubrick, that was in his mind too, calling this gentleman a ghost was really some sort of joke. But yeah, the spook gets him drugged, and the rest of the movie completely changes. Now, I don't want to skip over anything, but one of the things that stuck with me the most with the film The Shining was the end. And they're in the hedges, which is like a maze, right? There's like a hedge maze outside of the hotel, right? It's like this, and it's snowing, and it's nighttime. It's just really a psychotic way to end a film, right? Because you're confused. I don't even remember what happened, but there doesn't really seem to be a resolution other than maybe Wendy and the boy are not in any danger because Jack dies, right? Is that my memory serving me correctly? Doesn't he die at the end of the film, right? So
yes, he chases Danny out into the maze. Danny retraces his steps almost identically to what an MK Ultra victim would do. You have to retrace your steps to figure out who did what to you, what happened to you, where you are, to regain consciousness. That's what Danny does in the snow. He retraces his steps. He's able to hide from Jack. Jack gets lost in the maze. Danny escapes with Wendy with down the sidewinder down the mountain, and then Jack dies. And then there's the end shot is zooming into the Overlook Hotel, and there's a picture on the wall. I think it's July 4th, 1921, and it has a picture of Jack with a bunch of other people in it. And then it fades into another picture, like a close-up picture of Jack. And for a split second, I wasn't the first person to see this, but it ties in with a lot of the other things that we talk about. For a split second, you can see a little tiny Hitler mustache beginning to form on Jack's face whenever the photo fades from the faraway shot to the up-close shot, which then correlates with the Nazi swastika that I saw in the background of the Gold Room that literally no one has ever seen before, ever mentioned. And the only reason that I was even able to see that is because I saw The Shining on a big screen. They replayed it at a theater last Halloween, and I went and saw it, and I was like, holy shit. Can't believe this. The freaking swastika background of the Gold Room, which confirms the entire theory, because that's really where MK Ultra started, was in Nazi Germany during World War II.
Wow.
Then they brought all that over to the United States through Project Paperclip.
I know this was maybe Stephen King's choice, but Stanley Kubrick chose to make a film about this. So is there anything inherent to the word or the phrase The Shining? Because it is one of those film titles that I think is like, and Clockwork Orange is the same way, where it's like nothing in the film really, it's not like Terminator, where obviously you know what the Terminator is about and who the Terminator is. Like The Shining and Clockwork Orange both have very vague artistic titles. Obviously, Stanley Kubrick didn't write either of those, but he chose to make films about them. So you analyze the names of the films at all for whatever that's worth?
It's interesting because there's this new, not a new show, but it's called Legion. It's about the X-Men. It's on FX.
Okay.
Well, it's on Hulu. You can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah.
And the name of that mental hospital that this series takes place in is called a Clockwork Psychiatric Hospital. Which I think is really interesting, which that came out way past Clockwork Orange. But
maybe a reference
from my understanding, The Shining was influenced. Stephen King got the influence. Now, I could be wrong, so don't quote me on it. But from what I've looked into, and some other people have theorized, this isn't in our film, A Clockwork Shining. But from my understanding, he actually got the name The Shining from a song. And I think the song was a song by the Beatles. And it has something to do with shine. The name of the song might be Shine or something like that, or the lyrics within one of the Beatles songs.
Right.
Is talking about shining, or that they're shine, that they have the shine or whatever. And that's what supposedly influenced Stephen King to name the book The Shining, because it was originally titled The Shine.
Right. And
the pre-published copies was The Shine. It wasn't The Shining. It was later turned into The Shining.
Yeah, there's something I'm remembering now about psychic phenomenon, maybe somebody attributing the title The Shining to the boy and how he's talking to this little spirit inside of his mouth, which is a very creepy thing for a child to say. And then, yeah, there's something, I think it might have been Chris Knowles that talks about this. But yeah, The Shining, I think that somebody said that was a reference to like the psychic element of human beings and how it like shines through certain people and not others. But yeah, very fascinating. Strange.
Yeah, one of my good friends, Paul Knight, does like a bunch of decodes on a bunch of different things. And he talks about how the mouth, if you were to take a picture of an open mouth and zoom in, it resembles the square and compass from Freemasonic, the Freemasonic square and compass, the symbol.
And maybe the G in the center is your that little boxing ball thing that hangs in the back of your throat. But yeah.
The boxing ball. Yeah. That's definitely the
medical term.
The boxing ball. Don't get them boxing balls removed, dude. Maybe you do want them removed.
The other thing that comes to mind with The Shining is The Shining One, which people, I think, know as Lucifer, right? Isn't Lucifer referred to as The Shining One? So there's definitely like a sinister element to the movie and MK Ultra, but
then in Eyes Wide Shut as well, the seven-pointed star is a symbolized for Venus, and Venus right. is known as the Morning Star, which is also Lucifer.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow, yeah. I forget where that came up recently. We were talking about Lucifer and Venus and all that, but wow. So it's on Amazon Prime. Is there anything else that we've been almost going for 2 hours here? That's as long as the film is. So, folks, I encourage you to go and watch it right now. But is there anything else you'd want people to know before they tune in, or anything else you think they should know to compel them to watch the film?
If they don't want to watch it by listening to this whole thing, then
that's crazy. No, I'm sure they all want to, but yeah, no, anything.
But please support my movie. This is an independent movie. Hollywood is dead. We really have to try and switch this around and support independent filmmakers so they can continue to make really great films in the future. And with each one, it's just getting better and better. On my end, I'm learning new things, and I want to keep this going in the future. So please support this movie, and hopefully we can get a link in the description of this video. I'll be posting it on my end as well.
Yeah.
And a link in the description of the podcast. Whether you're listening to the podcast version or video version on wherever you're listening to, please support the film, and please buy it. I know that it's, you know, really... It seems easy just to rent it for $2.99. It's only $2.99 to rent it, but to buy it is just a few dollars more. So please help and support by just buying it, because those few dollars really do help out and
not only
helps
that,
us out as filmmakers. And again, it's not just a, even if you don't like Stanley Kubrick, even if you don't like The Shining, even if you've never even seen The Shining, it doesn't really matter. You're going to find something within this movie that you are going to like. And it's not just about those topics. It's about everything that we talked about here and more.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
There's so much more. There's so many different things that we dive into in this movie that is, from the response that I've gotten and the people that has left reviews so far on Amazon, they're mind blown. So please, if you get the chance, I highly recommend
it. And it's dangerous information, so definitely buy it, because if you rent it, who knows if it'll be there when you come back to watch it again a couple months or years down the line. You know what I mean? We got to get away from this streaming model. I'm somebody who likes to have things downloaded, because I've seen plenty of things that I used to go to on the internet disappear forever. And yeah, so all the more reason to buy it. Support independent artists like yourself, independent creators. You also have a podcast, Raised by Giants, where they could find that anywhere they listen to this show. But on that note of supporting filmmakers, you mentioned maybe Michael Jackson might be on the docket for a future inquiry and future documentary. Is it documentaries only that you're interested in creating? I imagine after taking a lot of time to study someone like Kubrick, you might get a little inspired to make a film of your own. Have you ever thought of doing anything in that realm, like a departure from documentaries and creating something like a movie or who knows what? What are your thoughts?
I would love to do that. I actually have a lot of really good ideas. to do that. So if anybody is listening to this and they watch the movie and they have the means and the wants to go on that adventure with me, then please contact me, because I really do want to do that. I've always enjoyed movies. I watch movies and TV shows like all the time in my spare time, and I grew up watching them, so I know what looks good and what doesn't look good, and how exactly I would want to film this film and the storyline and the dialogue of all of it. So I just need the budget to be able to do it. So I would love to do that. But for now, I think Michael Jackson would be a great documentary. I probably won't do that, but it would definitely be a really interesting documentary, because there's so many theories about what happened to him and the star power that he had, and if he was actually killed, if he faked his death.
I don't know. He could be watching
this podcast.
I've
seen a lot of really strange videos about it, but I definitely want to continue on this route of making films, and regardless if it's more documentaries or a actual motion picture film with actors and people in it, that is the goal to get to, and I'm trying to work my way up to that. So please watch my film and purchase my film so I can eventually get to that point to where I can make a movie or a TV show.
I love that. Right on. I'm glad I asked. Well, with that, folks, support Ryder in this endeavor. Check out Clockwork Shining and of course, Raised by Giants, your podcast, where I'm sure you've gone into other topics related and documenting the research along the way. It's a very cool thing to witness, and happy to be a part of it, brother. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are. In the now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. And this is where the train stops for all the freeloaders. But it doesn't stop if you support the show. Sign up on Patreon for just $5 a month. Go to patreon.com/MFTIC, or go over to our website, myfamilythinksimcrazy.com, with a whole new look. It looks a little different, hopefully functions a little better, and I'm going to be changing it over time. But go to the website and all the links are there to sign up on the Patreon or the Substack, and you get an exclusive ad-free, interruption-free version of the show with extensions to episodes like this one, where we went a full 2 hours, and if you're listening on the free side, you only get less than 75% of that, maybe a little bit more than half. But anyways, enough about that. Sign up on the Patreon or the Substack to hear more from me, and until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. MFTIC.
Broadcasting the moon matrix from the lunar surface. They want you confused like you never knew your purpose. Hopping through the portals, dismantling the machine. My family thinks I'm crazy, I can't believe what I've seen. Memories of a war, the Pleiadians and Anunnaki. Stuck within the genes of a copy of a human body. DNA fractal, the universe within me. Epiphanies of science is hoarded by the Illuminati. Puppet masters know the power of the mantra. Repeating mad lies till it has an effect on ya. Subliminal messages hijack your perception. Tricking the population with holographic projections. We see through it, and the system is unraveling. I'm astral traveling through the library of the Vatican. On a sacred journey, I embark with the squad. Forever spitting truth like Mark on the pod. Gotta know the facts, never hold back, cause I ain't getting caught up in the soul trap. I dissect the fabric of reality, looking for the answers. Searching through the galaxy, you might be feeling stressed out. Depression, anxiety is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. You don't even know how powerful you are. We the ones who gonna expose the whole facade. I awoke in a deep underground military base. Zero recollection of how I got to this place. Alien corpses floating in glass cylinders. Must have been extracted when they crashed into us. Animal hybrids contained in the cages.
A lion with the eagle head. Monkeys with reptilian faces. Losing my mind and I'm feeling desperate. I look around the room and I see no sign of an exit. All of a sudden the wall flickers away, revealing a hangar full of spacecraft. My getaway. I run to the nearest one. See a guard knock him out, rob him for his plasma gun. Hop in the ship, take the controls. They're highly intuitive, I figure it out easily. Lift off, accelerate through a tunnel until I see the light. Fly into the sky, get flanked by six F-35s.
Gotta know the facts, never hold back. Cause I ain't getting caught up in the soul trap. I dissect the fabric of reality, looking for the answers. Searching through the galaxy, you might be feeling stressed out. Depression, anxiety is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. You don't even know how powerful you are. We the ones who gonna expose the whole facade.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.